Online Trading Academy's core strategy is patented and built on the timeless principles of supply and demand. Text Cairo to 57682 to learn how you can trade stocks using this patented core strategy. Text Cairo to 57682.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. No hour number two echo today?
Sorry, I had it queued up, and I accidentally had a couple of things linked together in AV.
No problem.
I'm off my game.
Did you notice how many text messages we got on Friday? Because Ursula didn't do the hour number two echo on Friday?
Yes, I did notice that.
People are dialed into this.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Let people down. Okay.
This Friday. We got to all get back on our game here.
Exactly. It's only Monday.
We got to stave off those wolves that are nipping at our heels here.
I'm going to have a fresh one for Friday.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. That sounds great. Okay. We do have a lot of news to get to. It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Have you seen this video of the commuter walking through the BART station tunnelway in San Francisco?
No.
It's unbelievable. For several days, he chronicled, when you're getting to a subway station anywhere, BART is Bay Area Rapid Transit. It's the big transit system down there in the Bay Area. And this one guy, he saw every day walking down this hallway from the stairs to the platform, heroin addicts on both sides of the hallway, sitting against the wall. There's vomit everywhere. There's urine everywhere, and day after day, this guy is just chronicling and recording it on his phone. And he finally went to one of the San Francisco TV stations, and here is what they recorded.
New at 5, we have shocking video of what's going on in one of the busiest BART stations in the Bay Area. Several junkies blatantly shooting up out in the open. Others slumped along the corridors. This is San Francisco's Civic Center station. We sent KPIX5's Wilson Walker to ask the mayor and BART, what are you doing about all of this?
Open IV drug use, unconscious men and women, piles of vomit on either side of the hallways. This is a morning walk through the Civic Center BART and Muni station.
And that's the other thing that you see is the guys are just injecting themselves in the thighs and in the toes. And it's exactly what we have in downtown Seattle right now, where people, if you're going to the King County Courthouse every day, you see essentially the same thing. And you have human waste, you have a stench like you can't believe, and you have people openly injecting without any fear of repercussions. And so, like San Francisco, Seattle's probably even worse than San Francisco now. But the guy who recorded all of this, he said,
"And one morning, I got to pull out the camera. I got to show my friends this. They're not going to believe it."
And here's what he saw on a daily basis.
Every day, every morning, 5:30, 6 o'clock. You can see there's dozens of them. And needles everywhere, cracked, heroin.
And a spokesman for BART named Chris Filippi says,
"It's a real concern for our riders, and we appreciate that. What we have to do is make the most of the resources, the limited resources that we have."
Okay, the reason it's an out-of-control problem in Seattle and San Francisco and, you know, throughout the Puget Sound area here is because we have legalized drug use. And this comes from the very top. This is the head of city government. These are prosecutors. They've told the police, you cannot police drug use. You can't arrest for drug use. And so, of course, all the drug addicts are going to go to Seattle area or the Puget Sound area. Snohomish County. You can have meth. You can have crack cocaine. You can have heroin. And the prosecutor says, we are not going to prosecute you. So, of course, this is where all of the addicts go. And we told you the story last week about the woman who is in one of those homeless encampments now in North Seattle. And she said, I recently was eating out of garbage cans in Arizona, but now I'm up here living, you know, where the taxpayers are paying for a tiny house in which she can continue to use whatever drug of choice she wants, because these are wet houses where you can use heroin, you can drink, while the taxpayers are providing you a home. And the mayor of San Francisco, he pretends that he cares.
The situation on our BART stations is simply unacceptable. Border's disastrous. I don't care at the end of the day if now we have jurisdictional issues. As mayor, I want to get something done. And I want to make sure that these BART stations are cleaned up.
Okay, but you and Seattle and King County and Puget Sound area politicians have encouraged this problem. And the BART spokesman says, yeah, we don't have any way to clean this up.
We're in the midst of a national homelessness crisis. And we're also in the middle of a national drug crisis. And unfortunately, as a transit agency, we have limited resources and we're not really equipped to deal with these social issues.
But for the citizens, like the guy who recorded all of this.
You do. You feel bad for these people in a way. I mean, because you are human and you see them. This isn't going anywhere, it looks like. It's just getting worse.
It is getting worse, and it's because of an absolute failure of leadership in all of these West Coast cities. Again, most major American cities, homelessness has gone down, but in the furthest left cities of Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles, it has exploded because when you put out the food, it is an attractant, and the food here is no drug enforcement. So, of course, this is where heroin addicts from around the country are going to end up. Next up in the Fastest 15, I have never once given money to any politician in my life.
Same here.
You don't? For journalistic reasons?
Yes.
Okay. And I do because I don't like politicians regardless of party. I just don't. I can spend my money better than they ever would spend it. So I was interested when this local guy, this story's gone international now, the Daily Mail's picked it up. A Seattle man gave money to Hillary Clinton's nonprofit organization. He was donating $10.48 a month. And he has now had to file a complaint with the state attorney general's office because Hillary's nonprofit would not allow him to cancel his donation. He said he first tried to resolve it by phone, no luck. He told the Seattle Times that he doesn't care what the organization is. He doesn't want to give money. He should be able to stop giving money. But then his quote, "What surprised me is the Democratic Party is supposed to stand for other people and not be part of this larger industrial complex." Well, that's his first mistake. No political party and no politician stands for people. When are people going to learn that no politician and no political party cares about you? They care about their power, about their money. That's all that anybody in politics cares about. And so he tried for months to cancel the $10.87 donation.
Isn't it like trying to cancel a magazine subscription or trying to, I mean, they make it so impossible, or, you know, a phone company thing where they make it so impossible that you just finally say, okay, forget it.
Yeah. Well, remember my thing with Verizon?
Yes.
When I was getting billed for my tablet and it went all the way to the top of the company. Vice presidents down in Florida ended up calling me and apologizing. But why? Because I got a radio show and I recorded the insane conversation I had with them.
Yeah, but to get rid of this $10.48, a monthly amount or whatever it is. Is it yearly or monthly?
A month.
You think, okay, it's not that huge of an amount, but yes, it does pile up, and it's the principle of the matter. You can't get rid of them once you start.
Yeah, and you know, how many automatic build things do we all have now? If you got Netflix, and my girls have Spotify, and you know, the alarm system, and you know, your phone cup. It's all automatic. I don't even know how many auto pays I have anymore.
Yeah, but it's frightening once you actually look at it and start counting. You think, oh, my goodness, that's a trip to Hawaii.
And then I have Dish Network, and they send me an email. They don't send the hard copy bill. Well, I still use the hard copy bill. I pay everything online. But if you send me an email, it's one of hundreds of emails. So I forget. I just forget. And then I get nicked with a late fee.
And that's exactly what they're counting on.
I know it! Oh, man. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. Joy Reid is a host on MSNBC. And she, over the years, has written just incredibly hateful posts about gay people. And she, and very transphobic stuff. And she would always compare Ann Coulter to a transvestite. And she, you know, gleefully put these things out on Twitter for years and years. Well, now people have dug up some more of Joy Reid's blog posts. And the stuff that she has said about gay people is pretty remarkable, especially when you're on a network like MSNBC, where one of your fellow hosts is Rachel Maddow, who's out, and but her colleagues seem to be standing by her. Joy Reid, at first, she said, somebody hacked my blog, which is one of the most incredible stories you'll ever hear, because she admitted to some anti-gay posts a few years ago, and all of these are consistent with what she's written in the past. But when they saw the volume, I mean, just the amount of nasty stuff, then she said, no, I'm going to the FBI because somebody hacked my blog and added things 10 years ago, something ridiculous. And now the blog server says, no, there's no evidence that her blog has been hacked. You know, it's clear that she wrote this, and she's now lying about it. So Joy Reid went on her show this weekend, and she's trying to apologize to the gay community for hating gay people.
A community that I support and that I deeply care about is hurting because of some despicable and truly offensive posts being attributed to me.
Being attributed to me. So, and a community that she deeply loves and supports. No, she hates gay people. She uses them as the punchline in jokes for years. And look, people can evolve. You could be anti-gay 12 years ago and have some enlightenment and not hate gay people today. But the fact that she didn't just own it and she tried to say, oh, no, I'm going to the FBI. My blog was hacked. She's not only anti-gay, but she's a liar. And yet MSNBC stands by her.
And many of you have seen these blog posts circulating online and in social media. Many of them are homophobic, discriminatory, and outright weird and hateful. When a friend found them in December and sent them to me, I was stunned. Frankly, I couldn't imagine where they'd come from or whose voice that was. In the months since, I've spent a lot of time trying to make sense of these posts. I hired cybersecurity experts to see if somebody had manipulated my words.
By the way, I hope she goes to prison for getting the FBI involved to try to cover up her hatred of gays, for wasting public resources like that.
Or my former blog. And the reality is they have not been able to prove it. But here's what I know. I genuinely do not believe I wrote those hateful things.
Okay. Isn't that proof that she wrote them? That line right there. I genuinely don't believe I wrote those things. She knows if she did or she didn't. And if she didn't write them, she would say, I guarantee you I never wrote those things. But I genuinely don't believe I wrote those things is proof that she wrote them.
I genuinely do not believe I wrote those hateful things because they are completely alien to me.
Except she's apologized in the past for anti-gay stuff that she tweeted years ago. So it's completely consistent with her.
But I can definitely understand, based on things I have tweeted and have written in the past, why some people don't believe me.
Because you're a liar! That's why some people don't believe you. In fact, anybody who believes you is a fool.
I've not been exempt from being dumb or cruel or hurtful to the very people I want to advocate for. I own that. I get it. And for that, I am truly, truly sorry.
Why did she say that beforehand then, before going through this whole thing? That's what's really
disappointing. This is what we talk about all the time. If you host a talk show, and radio is even more revealing than television, but one thing about whatever success we have on this show, people might disagree with what I say. But I think they know that I'm coming at it from an honest perspective. And I've just arrived at a different conclusion on a lot of issues than a lot of people who live around here. But I'm never lying to you. Somebody like that, I don't know how she can keep her job when she's so clearly a liar. I wonder if MSNBC is going to keep her after all this. It's just amazing.
That'd be tough.
Okay, and then finally in the Fast 15, you know America's sweetheart, Katie Couric.
Yes.
We have in our dining room on the shelf the family
Not
photo.
This topic again.
The family photo of all of us with Katie Couric. And she was very nice to me and my girls, and my wife and girls. Very sweet. So I have, just based on that encounter, I kind of have a sweet spot.
Okay.
For her. Okay. Having said that, have you seen where her career is now?
I just see the headline right now on this sheet of paper in front of me.
I mean, understand.
Not this again.
Understand. She was the host of the Today Show.
Oh, I understand.
The biggest money generator in television history. Then she goes to CBS News and becomes the anchor.
Mm-hmm.
She follows Dan Rather and Cronkite and Murrow, and she's the face of CBS News. And then she gets her own daytime talk show, and she's going to be the new Oprah and Ellen.
Except that didn't happen.
Well, it did for a short time, except, yeah, the success didn't happen.
Well, even the success didn't happen in the anchor desk either, unfortunately.
So what's Katie Couric doing now? She's interviewing sex robots.
I wonder when you're going to take me out dinner.
Well, I was going to take you out to lunch instead.
What is stopping you?
Well, she's kind of a wise ass.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, the robot's name is Harmony, and these are like the robots they're putting in those brothels in Europe where guys can have guilt-free sex because it's not with another human. And that's who Katie's interviewing now.
What do you like to do for fun?
I like robots, computers, and making new friends. I also love making love to you.
Whoa, what? I appreciate it, but I'm actually married, and I love my husband. Would you like to be my friend?
Sure. I like you a lot. I want to be your best friend and much more.
Maybe not the much more part, but the friends part. I'm cool with that. Cheers, Harmony.
Ooh, that's kind of cringeworthy. What's that for? Where?
It was for Nightline. This was an interview she did for Nightline. And, I mean, Nightline's on at 12:30. It starts at 12:30. They can't bury Katie any deeper than they are. You want to hear her talking to a male sex robot named Henry?
Hi, Henry.
I never thought I would find anyone like you. I mean, you really have everything I want in a person. You have charm, good looks, a hot body, and the perfect abs. No one could ever compare to you.
Thank you, Henry. I'm blushing.
You were very polite, Katie.
Do you want to go for a ride?
Sure. I would love to come with you.
All right. Let's go.
So that's where one
and
of wait, the...
And just as an aside, mm-hmm. those robots are supposed to be a turn-on?
Yeah. Yes, they are. They certainly are.
They put her in a car and she drove off with him.
Yeah. Oh. What a fall for Katie Couric, man. She was on top of the world. Now she's interviewing sex robots. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Well, a couple months ago, I talked to a local veteran who was really ticked off because he has the very special Purple Heart license plate that the state of Washington will offer to people who have served our nation and been wounded in service. And he was shocked when he saw an extra charge for these plates. His name is David Buckner. He joins us again here on Cairo Radio. David, thanks for coming back on with me this afternoon.
Thank you.
So let's go back to the beginning, starting with where did you serve in our military?
I served in Vietnam.
Okay. And what happened to you that got you the Purple Heart?
Well, I was a combat medic. I got wounded in action.
Okay. All right. And so for our veterans who have given that sacrifice, the state of Washington allows you to have these Purple Heart license plates. And describe it to me. What does that license plate look like, David?
Well, it has a Purple Heart on it. It's down at the bottom. It says combat wounded.
Right.
But they don't give them to us. We have to pay $40 for them.
Right. And then you also noticed a new $30 charge when you went to register your vehicle, correct?
Yeah, if you have more than one set of plates, they want you to pay another $30 for the extra set of plates every year when you've already paid for the plates initially. They said, well, the law changed last July.
What was your reaction? Because I remember you were pretty upset when we talked a couple months ago about this.
Well, yeah, you know, I figure, you know, we serve our country, we've been wounded in combat, and then the state turns around after you've had the plates for 20 years and want to charge you another $30 a year.
And we're not just talking about the registration for the tabs. They want to charge you for the license plate itself?
Yeah, for having the license plates, and they're not giving you nothing else. We've already paid for the plates.
What in the world do you think they were thinking, other than just being a bunch of money grubbers? I mean, is there any other possible rationale?
Well, that's the state, you know. Every way they can think to get another buck out of you, but I don't think they should be taking it out on the veterans.
No, I fully agree with you. Okay, so, and I know that King 5 was also all over this story, and they have a story that says some veterans, the state admits some veterans were wrongly billed for their Purple Heart license plates. So
that's the ones that only have one set of plates.
So the state says, if you have one set of Purple Heart plates, we're not going to bill you an extra $30 a year, but what about somebody like you who has two sets of plates?
Then we have to pay an extra $30 a year for that second set.
What?
Yep.
So they are still making you. You paid $40 years ago up front for the special license plate, and now on top of your car tabs, which are too expensive, on top of that they want an extra $30 a year because you have that Purple Heart designation?
Yep.
And when did all this start? When did they start on collecting on the second set of plates?
Well, you don't get nothing. You're just paying an extra $30. I'd say, well, why aren't the rest of the citizens being charged an extra $30 for their license plates every year?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's only for somebody who has that special designation of the Purple Heart?
Yes.
Well, this is insane. What has the state told you about this?
They haven't told me nothing. They didn't tell me a thing.
And so for those of us, and how much are your car tabs? Do you know?
Car tabs, I think it was $80.
Okay. And they wanted another $30 on top of that.
Another $30 on top of that.
And nobody from the state will give you any satisfaction as to why?
Nope. No, they just said the law was changed last July.
So they would have had to have, I mean, I want to make sure, and I'll look into this. I'll get hold of the Department of Licensing. But somebody in Olympia, this is your understanding, because I find this almost impossible to believe because, I mean, I've seen so much craziness down there, though. So somebody in Olympia said, let's go after the Purple Heart recipients and nail them for 30 more bucks a year if they have two sets of license plates?
That's what it seems like to me.
Unbelievable. Okay, I'm going to get hold of the Department of Licensing and see if I can get to the bottom of this, because this is pure insanity that somebody like you, who has already given so much to this country, that you should, and you'll have to pay more than anybody else who has two sets of plates. That's insane.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay, well, I'm going to get hold of DOL, and you and I are going to stay in touch, but I'm going to see what I can do about this, David, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, David, we will stay in touch, and again, thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
And yes, I will continue to keep getting to the bottom of this. We will sleuth it out, and in fact, I'm just getting confirmation that a spokesperson for the State Department of Licensing will come on with us in just a couple of minutes here. So let me take a quick time out, and then we'll hear the DOL's response. Are we really going after combat injured vets for that $30 license plate fee on their second set of plates? That would be insanity. So let me find out if this is all as it seems. We'll talk to the DOL next here on the Dory Monson Show. Thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. Industrious Office is just an amazing workspace right in the heart of downtown Seattle, right on 6th and Lenora, right where everything Seattle has to offer is on your doorstep. And at Industrious, you can start with the right size office and then scale up as your team grows. Go to industriousoffice.com/Cairo, schedule a tour, mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hi, I'm Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio. When Cairo Radio listeners miss their favorite show, they find it on demand. Maybe you should be advertising here. Give me a call and I'll help you out. 206-726-6819.
Heard an interview with a Vietnam vet who has Purple Heart license plates, and he told me something that just sounded impossible to me. So I wanted to get to the bottom of this and go right to the Department of Licensing. Christine Anthony is a spokesperson for the DOL and joins us here on Cairo Radio. Christine, thanks for coming on with me this afternoon.
Oh, you're welcome, Dory.
So, first of all, how did all this controversy over these Purple Heart license plates come to be?
Well, back in the 2016 legislative session, there was a bill passed that allowed veterans who have received a Purple Heart medal to get more than one Purple Heart plate.
Yeah.
So prior to that, they were entitled to get one Purple Heart plate, but then this legislation passed. So then if they had multiple vehicles, they could get multiple plates.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we had an operating system that was sort of unable to track the number of Purple Heart plates that were being issued to an individual. And when we switched over to our new vehicle system, some of the people who had the Purple Heart plates, it didn't identify correctly how many plates they were actually had, and so they weren't being charged the appropriate fee.
Okay, and what is the appropriate fee?
Well, if you the first Purple Heart plate you get for free, no charge. If you want additional plates, then you pay $30 per plate.
Okay, and that's what this guy told me, and that sounded impossible to me, but that actually is, and I'm not faulting you guys. You have to carry out what the legislature decides, but seriously, if somebody has two sets of plates, they have to pay an extra $30 a year for that second set?
Yes, that is correct.
But they already paid, and what this Vietnam vet told me, David, he said he already paid $40 up front for a special designation Purple Heart plate. That also is correct, I assume.
I would have to check into that.
Okay.
I mean, there might have been like an initial registration fee, but after that, the Purple Heart plate holders don't pay a vehicle fee.
Okay, but I, with just a regular license plate, I don't have to pay an extra $30 a year for my standard license plate, do I?
No. That's it's a specialty plate fee. So when you order any kind of specialty plate, there's an extra $40 fee that goes along with it.
Okay, but there is a yearly fee for a specialty plate if you have more than one set, if you're a Purple Heart recipient.
I would have to confirm that. I don't...
Okay, well, that's what David told me, the vet. He said that you guys are still nicking him for $30 a year for his second set of plates. He said the charge is coming off for the first set, but that he's going to get billed $30 a year for a second set. And I'm trying to figure out why the rest of us in public would not have to pay for our actual metal license plate, but a Purple Heart recipient would.
It's not for the plates. It's the registration fee. So he gets the first set of plates, you know, complimentary because he's a Purple Heart recipient. If he wants a set of plates for an additional vehicle, state law says he has to pay the additional $30.
And he told me that he talked to somebody, I think it was at licensing, not with the legislature, but he said that the law changed just recently so that that makes
in
him have to...
In 2016.
In 19... Or 2016. So really, the people in our legislature said, let's go after an extra $30 a year from Purple Heart recipients? That's just crazy to me. But that's the way it is.
That's the bill that was passed.
Holy smokes. Okay, I got to find out who the sponsor of this bill was. And is it? It's not just for the Purple Heart recipients, but every specialty plate? Is that what you're telling me?
Every specialty plate has a specialty plate fee, yearly specialty plate fee.
Okay. And so apparently whoever put this bill together did not think to give a waiver or exemption to people who have been injured in combat.
I can't really answer to that. I mean, we're just following the state law.
Well, I know. As I said, I don't fault you guys. You gotta carry out what the legislature does. But yeah, I'll stay on top of this one. I'll find you.
And I can tell you that the special plate fee that they charge every year for the additional plates on the Purple Heart, it gets distributed to the Veteran Stewardship Account, which is overseen by the Department of Veterans Affairs. So the money is going to veterans.
Right. But if we didn't charge them the $30, that money would be going to veterans as well. It would be, David would get to keep his $30, so that money would go to a veteran without the state as the, you know, the middleman in between that transaction, between the money and the veteran. So I would just rather see the guy keep his money. If you could find out who sponsored that bill, could you drop my producer, Nicole, a line? And I want to track down that legislator who's behind this. Would you be able to let us know who it was?
I can send you some information with the Senate bill number.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Okay. All right. I'd appreciate that. Yeah, because I want to...
I would need Nicole's email.
Okay. I'll have Nicole get hold of you with that, and because I'll track those people down and see why they're not getting our combat injured vets an exemption on license plates. Okay, very enlightening, Christine. I really appreciate you taking the time and coming on with me this afternoon. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's Christine Anthony, spokesperson for the Department of Licensing. So it's true what David told me. They're making him, even though he paid up front for his plates, he's got to pay every year for that Purple Heart plate on his second set of plates on his second vehicle. And that just seems insane to me. But I'll try to find out who is behind this bill. Our odyssey will continue. Much more to come. We're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then lots more Big Lead at 2 straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.